me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese from Parkland, Florida. We are in the Christmas season. In a week, within this couple of days of this broadcast is Christmas. Now, Christmas, we all celebrate. A good part of the world celebrate Christmas, whatever reason, that some celebrate for religious purpose, that some believe in the Jesus Christ and his birth, and there are some who accepted and some who did not accept it. Now, my question is this: beginning of this message, it will be titled, "Did you allow Jesus born in your heart?" So I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 onwards. Here it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Praise the Lord. Amen. And the next verse, verse 22, says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Praise God. This is the history, or we call the Christmas story. Now, we can also read this from Gospel of Luke, the similar story written by Luke, the historian physician. He wrote the story how Jesus was born. Now, the birth of Jesus, as I continue speak about it, I'll bring it to the Gospel of Luke as well. Now, Jesus was born as a prophetical child. It was prophesied by Isaiah in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 14. We'll read, "The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Now, Matthew, the gospel writer, who became the disciple of Jesus at one point, as he was being a tax collector one time, and he addressed the Jewish nation, Jewish people, the Judaic people or Israelites, to understand the Jesus birth in a fashion as it is written, addressing to them. Now, the point of Matthew's writing of the ministry of Jesus, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus was born as a king according to the genealogy. Amen. Jesus was born as a king. Now, in the genealogy of Matthew, we see the record of genealogy of Jesus Christ as the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and as it goes all the way down, we come to the birth of Joseph's father Jacob, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom who is called Christ, was born. Now, the David dynasty, and it basically ended with the capture of Babylonian King Nebuchadnezzar to the last king, Zedekiah. And Jeconiah was going to be the next king in Judea. Now that has been ended at the surrender of Jerusalem, or Babylonians defeating Jerusalem, and that has been ended. But David dynasty, as it goes, if it was going to be existing. Now, David has two sons, as we know. Presently, we are talking about concerning the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One, Solomon, and another son named Nathan. Now, it says in a historical document here, written by a church father we all regarded, all the churches, his name is Eusebius, and he writes the genealogy of Christ in this way. He explained the relationship of the families, reckoning the generation from David through Solomon, as does Matthew 1:15-16. The third from the end is Matan, whose son was Jacob, the father of Joseph. But if we follow Luke 3:23-37, and reckon from Nathan, the son of David, the corresponding third from the end is Malki, whose son was Heli, the father of Joseph. It must therefore be shown how both Heli and Jacob can be fathers of Joseph, and both Matan and Malki belong to two different families, were grandfathers. Now, Matan and Malki, since they took the same wife, were fathers of stepbrothers. For the law permits a woman who has been divorced or widowed to marry again. Now, Esther, E-S-T-H-A, this name is not written in the Bible, the traditional name of the wife of in question, first married Matan, M-A-T-T-H-I-N, descendant from Solomon. Matan, descendant from Solomon, and he marries the lady named mother here, Esther, and bore him Jacob. When Matan died, his widow married Malki, who descended from Nathan. Same family, same dynasty, David dynasty, of the same tribe, but different family, and bore him Heli, H-E-L-I. Thus Jacob and Heli had the same mother. And when Heli died childless, his half-brother Jacob married his widow and fathered Joseph by her. Joseph then was the natural son of Jacob, but the legal son of Heli, for whom a good brother had raised up offspring. Matthew uses the term begot for physical descent, whereas Luke says who was, as was supposed, not the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Melchi. Luke 3:23-24. It was impossible to express legal descent more precisely, and he never uses the term begot regarding such children in tracing the line back to Adam, the son of God. Praise God. So I just inputted this part of from the book of Eusebius, the church history. Praise God. It is written by Paul L. Mayer, M-A-I-E-R, translated from Greek. So the church historian Eusebius documented how these two people become the father of one person. See, in the Judaic religion or tradition, that God has given them the law that when a brother dies without having children, his brother has to come and take this widow and produce child for the dead brother. The first child will be named after the dead brother. Okay, so that is how we see that Joseph had been the delighted in description of Matthew as well as Luke in both fathers were actually his fathers. One was a legal father and one was a adopted father or the birth father. Praise God. So this is the how this happened. Now, Jesus, a historical or a prophetical person that whose birth has been foretold from Genesis 3:15. So we don't see Adam and Eve received the name of the child, but the time God told them that a woman's child will come and he will destroy the serpent's head. So the serpent here was the one who cheated Adam and especially Eve. So it came to Adam and Eve. So they were cheated by the serpent by misguiding them that they will follow his idea and disobey God. So basically, the devil was going to be punished at the end by this woman's son. Praise God. So then the next prophecy we come to, we already read that the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, as he was the Word who lived with God, in the beginning was the Word was with God and Word was God, and John's Gospel chapter 1, and when goes down to verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we seen his glory as the glory of the one and only Son of the Holy God. So Jesus Christ was born according to the scriptures. Now the scripture fulfilled here at the birth of Jesus. Now we see that Jesus' birth was taken place. Now we go to the Gospel of Luke here. There is a little detail we have to go to understand is that as Luke explains the birth of Jesus, this is how it happens. The angels were coming to give the information. See, so in order to come to that, we read the second chapter of Luke, chapter verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the field thereby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." As the angels left them and they gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told. Praise God. And this is the beautiful story of Christmas, that Jesus was born, the promised child of God. And in the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 14 says, "In the fullness of time came, God sent his son in the form of a human from the woman." Through the woman, otherwise. So God performed the promise. Even after the 4,000 years, amen, there was so many things happened between this 4,000 years. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, and 14 generations from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 generations from exile to Jesus Christ. Now, this last 14 generation comes approximately close to B.C. 4, 5 approximately, praise God. So the calculation says, according to that time, God sent his son in the right time. He has well planned. Praise God. And the birth of Jesus Christ, we just explained. Now, Jesus was born. Now, when we go back to Matthew's Gospel, 24th verse, first chapter 24, when Joseph wake up, he did what the angel told him, commanded him. He went and took Mary and went home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, we understand the Middle Eastern marriage, or at the time of the marriage took place, Jesus was born, amen. And before the birth of Jesus, they did not have any union, which means no sexual relationship. Now, Mary was pledged to marry to Joseph. There were no sexual relations during the Jewish betrothal period, but it was much more binding relationship than a modern engagement and could be broken only by divorce. Even that engagement can be broken. It is written in Deuteronomy 22 verse 24, based on that, a betrothal woman is called a wife, though they did not have any sexual union. Though the preceding verse speaking of her as being pledged to be married, Matthew uses the terms husband and wife of Joseph and Mary before they were married. Now, Jews, this meant being zealous in keeping the law. Divorce her quietly, he decided, because he found her to be with a child before the marriage, and then he decided to divorce her quietly. He would sign the necessary legal paper, but not have her judged publicly and stoned. In Deuteronomy 22:23-24, there is a law given: a woman get pregnant while she was living in her father's house before the marriage, that period of time, and if she found pregnant, she will be taken out and she will be judged by the elders of the entrance and the leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin or the leadership or the priests, and they will be thrown stone at her and she will be killed. So Joseph was a good man, a righteous man, so he did not want that happen to Mary. Evidently, we know Joseph loved Mary and she did not want to have a public disgrace and a death. So he decided to do privately, that without informing any authorities. Now, at this point, there we see in a dream that God's angel appeared to him in a dream and told him, Joseph, son of David, you take your wife with you, because this did not happen by anyone. This is happened by the Holy Spirit, and give him the name Jesus. After this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, according to the Augustus Caesar, there was a proclamation that they have to go to their own birthplace, birth country, birth tribe, and in that local city or area where they need to document, that is for their accounting of people who was going on. And thus they left and they went to Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod was ruling. Now, at the same time, the Magi from the east, they saw the sign of the birth of Jesus. Now, Jesus did not have a place to have taken his birth, because we see that in Bethlehem that there was no place in a inn or today's motel. something similar to that. They had to be taken. She went into a manger because the time the baby has to be born, the baby has to be born. Nothing can stop it. Now, this happened. The baby Jesus was born in a manger. Now, it says in the prophecy concerning the place of the birth of Jesus, it's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, that are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So Jesus is supposed to be born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. See, Jesus born according to the prophecy. He born according to his predestined location. Now, us the Magi from the east, the ones who were studying the galaxies and stars, they came looking at the star. They said, "Okay, where is the King of Jews?" As he was, they traveled from the east. Praise God! And as he come to the, as they follow the star and they come to Judea, they decided to think in the human terms that they thought the king should be born in a palace. So they went into the palace, and that made Herod to came to know that another king is born. Now Herod was terrified by the message. As they heard this message, amen, it says that Herod heard he was disturbed. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Matthew chapter 2 verse 3, and all Jerusalem with him. Then he called all together all the people's chief priests, teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born, in Bethlehem in Judea. They replied, and this is what the prophet has written. They showed him the exact prophecy prophet Micah has been told to the people of Judea and the world. See, this has been there for a long of time, that this possibly approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus, this prophecy has been written. Now, Isaiah lived 734 years approximately before the birth of Jesus. He also was a contemporary of this prophet. Now, why they trembled? Because another king is born. So, why there is another king to be born? Herod was terrified. And even the Jerusalem, where is this king? Now they found exactly where the prophets has been written. Now Herod orders to the Magi, when you go back and search, find the baby, you come back and tell me, and I may also go and worship him. Now they got a message from God that do not go back to Herod, because Herod is a wicked person, a wicked king, and he will try to kill the child. By within this time, and as the Magi went and they opened up their treasures, and they pulled their treasures, and they worshiped the Lord. And they presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense is a spice for purification, and myrrh is a burial spice. And the gold is presented since Jesus was the king. So purification shows Jesus is the priest, and he will be holy and pure person of God. And the gold represents he will be a king. So it's a king, priest, and he will be the savior, that he will die. The burial spice, myrrh, represent his death on the cross for the sins of the world. So Jesus has been born, and this was declared. Now when we go back to the birth of Jesus, we see that the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her that you, blessed person and called her, "You are blessed and you will be pregnant, amen, and you will have a child." And Mary, accepted this right at the moment. Praise the Lord. And this Mary, who was pledged to marry a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, this is from Luke chapter 1, verse 27. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings," angel said to her, and said, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Amen. Mary was greatly troubled at this words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "And how will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "And since I am a virgin," angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Praise God. See, the moment, then verse 38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it to be as you have said." The angel left her. Now, Mary accepting and believing that event is going to take place, the Holy Spirit will engulf her, it comes on her, and God, Lord Jesus in spirit, will enter as take birth by himself. And this is how the birth of Jesus taken place. And Mary believed, he took birth in her. Now, we believe in Jesus Christ. My question is, did you allow Jesus to born in your heart? All the celebrations, the lights, and everything is going on all over the world today. I mean, did Jesus really born in your heart? Did you accept him? He will save the people from their sins, and his name will be called Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Amen. That's what this whole thing about, that today the world has totally forgotten that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And the important thing is, while in this celebration, I welcome you to join all the many other thousands of Christians who accepted Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this is the time that you pray, "Lord Jesus, come to my heart. Father, forgive my sins and accept me as your child. I believe in Jesus Christ and make me your child. Send the Holy Spirit in me and make me holy." Thank you, and God bless each of you.
Christ, the blessed one, the Israel, wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of love.